Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
In a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day you've given us, Lord, to come to your house in peace. Lord, I lift up Israel to you, Lord, today, that you'll put your hand of protection on them. Lord, I pray that we'll be a country that will support them in everything that they do. Let us turn back to you, Lord. It seems like we're going the other way. Help us be more like you each and every day. Lord, I pray for the harvest, Lord. You tell us to be laborers in the harvest. Help us be more like that, Lord. Help us guide others to you, because that's what we're here to do. Lord, give us urgency to do that, because your day is coming. And help us know that you're with us through the time, through everything. Lord, I be with Brother Cal today as he brings your message. Let it speak to each and every one of us. If someone here doesn't know you, help them step up and step out for you today, Lord. Thank you for what you do for us each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing as we read from the Word of God this morning. We're found in Genesis chapter 1. That's a great place to start in the Word of God. And it's a great way to begin a life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. Let's say that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Father, bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your word. Unfold your wisdom in our hearts and in our lives right now. And give us hearts of obedience. Forgive us for the sin of unbelief. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We are returning to our theme for the year of getting free in 23, set free in 23. And we have finished up. You remember we talked about being set free from sin, and then being set free from bondage, and then being set free from set free to live, and set free to love, and set free to give. Well, from now until the end of the year, we're going to get set free from error. We're going to get free from error. And the way you get free from error is to know the truth. And isn't that what Jesus said? That was our yearly verse. Way back in January, early February, we said that John 8:32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." And the truth, that's it. And so in other words, is it 9:38? Woo, y'all are in trouble. Y'all got to listen fast today. In order to know that you're reading something that's not right or hearing something that's not right, you got to know the truth. And so that's what we're going to look at from now to the end of the year. And whether you know this or not, there is an attack on the authority of Scripture today. There is an attack on the authority of Scripture. And it began all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And we're going to talk more about that next week in Genesis 3. But it continues all the way up to our day. And what we've got today, here it is. What we've got today is the authority of God's word versus the authority of man's word. In the late 18th century and early 19th century, this attack on truth began as an all-out assault on Genesis 1 through 11. Today, we have our children attending public schools, private schools, Christian schools, home schools. Even in home schools where the Word of God is being undermined, all in the name of science. The belief that the earth is millions of years old and man evolved from some green slime is even prevalent right here in the church. Help us, Lord. Most people today believe that the universe was created by some big bang 15 billion years ago. There is going to be a big bang, but it didn't happen at the beginning of time. It's going to happen at the end of time. Read your Bible. The belief that the earth is millions of years old and man evolved from just chance and is prevalent in the church. Most people today believe the universe was created after a big bang 15 billion years ago. The stars were formed 10 billion years ago. The sun was formed 5 billion years ago. And the molten earth was formed about 4.5 billion years ago. Water was formed 3.8 billion years. I've done a lot of studying this week. And over millions and millions and millions of years, somehow life formed from non-life and then evolved into fish, amphibians, reptiles, to birds and mammals, and then ape-like creatures, and last, man. A process involving death over millions of years. And all this today is being taught, not as theory, but as fact. This, just one amen? This theory is man's attempt to explain creation outside of a thrice holy God. That's all this is. And can you tell I'm passionate about this? I hope you can. The result of this is 70% of our students who graduate high school leave the church. Let that sink in. And here is why I believe that happens. Middle school children, as early on in middle school, began to question the scriptures because what they're hearing is totally opposite of what God's Word says about creation. And so they begin to start asking questions. Can I trust the Bible? And then when they graduate high school, many of our students don't believe that you can trust the Scriptures, and it's creating huge problems for our society. Listen to this. If you believed you evolved from some lower life form, and you're here by chance, you're going to live differently than somebody who believes that they were created by a thrice holy God with a purpose. If you believe you're the product of some green slime, your lifestyle is going to be different from someone who believes they were made in the image of God. It affects everything. Your morality and ethics, your sense of right and wrong, are shaped by who or what your authority is. And so as a result of all this mess, we've had abortion on demand, gay marriage, transgenderism, rampant divorce, sexual immorality, sex trafficking, and you could go on and on and on. Man's word against God's word. And much more is the result of man's word having authority over God's word. Help us. And so this morning, we're going to look at the truth about concerning creation. Now, Junior Hill told me one time, one of our great Southern Baptist evangelists, if somebody doesn't get mad every now and then and walk out, you're not preaching the word. Now, I don't want you to get mad and walk out. I want you to stay with me and hear what God's Word has to say. Okay? Y'all with me? If you don't have a Bible, steal one right now. You need to get into the Word this morning with me. Here's the first truth I want to go over with you. Creation begins and ends with God. Creation begins and ends with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me say that again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so where does life begin? Where did I come from? Where did my parents come from? Where did my grandparents come from? In the beginning, God answers all of those questions. Y'all with me so far? God is the subject of this sentence. And by the way, God is the subject of the entire Bible. 43 times in chapter 1 of Genesis, a reference is made to God. The Bible never seeks to prove the existence of God. It just assumes that truth, that He is God. In the beginning, God, it's a foundational statement. It makes sense to believe in God. It does not make sense to believe that life is the result of some accident or chance. Nothing else makes sense if this statement does not make sense. And by the way, if you can't believe Genesis 1:1, you can't believe John 3:16. You believe either all of it or none of it. If you believe God created you, bless God, you've got a purpose. You've got a reason for your existence. God has a plan for your life. Look at somebody and tell them He's watching over you. Amen. So it's a foundational statement that in the beginning God, it's a factual statement. It's literal, accurate, and genuine. It's a fact. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Y'all with me so far? How did Moses get that? God gave it to him. And by the way, the only one who was there when everything began was God, not some scientist. It was God. God was there at creation. And He gave His word by divine inspiration to Moses. You know, God still has a way of speaking to folks. And He gave the first 5 books to Moses. And aren't you thankful Moses wrote it down? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Glory to God. And so every archaeological find, by the way, verifies what the Bible says. And so I'm going to stick with in the beginning God. It's a factual statement. It's a foundational statement, but it's also a functional statement. Now, observational science. Listen to me. Science is basically, you know, gathering knowledge. Okay, that's what science is. And here it is. Listen to this. Observational science observes physical phenomenon through experiments. You remember your biology class? And so, well, do y'all remember your biology class? Y'all did have biology. All right. And makes an educated guess, therefore gaining knowledge about a subject. And as I already mentioned, the only problem with observational science when it comes to creation is that there was only one person there. God. God created time in the beginning. What does beginning speak of? Time. God created time. And God created space. The Bible says He created the heavens. And God created matter. Scripture says God created the earth. And so in a foundational, functional, factual way, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Creation begins and ends with God. All right, now y'all going to have to, really listen up fast. We're going to do our best to cover the first 6 days of creation. Creation happened over 6 literal days. I don't care what you're hearing out there. I don't care what you're learning in school. I do care. But creation happened over 6 literal days. Now, when Genesis 1 uses the word day, listen to me. Are we talking about a 24-hour period? Maybe a longer period of time. You know, we say back in my father's day. Are we talking about a longer period of time? Are we talking about a portion of the day? Well, I'm going to school today. Are we talking about a description of time in the day of the Lord? Well, the Hebrew word yom in Genesis 1 is talking about a literal 24-hour period. The phrase evening and morning rings out over and over and over again after each day in Genesis 1. And it's used with all 6 days of creation. Verse 5 in chapter 1, verse 8, verse 13, verse 19, verse 23, verse 31. And by the way, Exodus 20 and verse 11 refers to God creating the earth in 6 literal 24-hour periods. That's where our work week comes from. There it is right there. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. And so yom, the Hebrew word yom, speaks of a literal 24-hour day in this context. And so, now listen, I'm going to blow y'all away with this. Was that Ellie? Okay, there's Ellie number two right there. All right. Listen to this, y'all. If you start from day six, okay, six 24-hour days, if you start from day six and do the math from the genealogy listings in Genesis 5 and Genesis 11, from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. Wow, Pastor. From Adam to Abraham, it's 2,000 years. And then if you count from Abraham to Christ, it's about what? 2,000 years. And since Jesus walked the face of the earth here up until now, that's about what? And so there you've got, what's 2,000 plus 2,000 plus 2,000? 6,000, that's right. And that's pretty well the age what I believe the earth is. You won't hear this at school. You may not even hear it in the curriculum in your homeschool. But I believe that's the age of the earth, around 6,000. And on the first day, let's get into this, God created light. And how did God create light? We just read it. He spoke it into existence out of absolutely nothing. He spoke it into existence. Now, the sun wasn't created on day one. The sun wasn't created until day four. And yet, how could there be light without the sun? How many of y'all have ever seen a comet fly across the sky? It didn't need the sun. The stars shine without the... How many of you used to catch lightning bugs? Lightning bug didn't need the sun. It just lit up, right? And that's all God did. He said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, the Shekinah glory light of God lit up the universe. Hallelujah. And so, and by the way, one day, He's going to light up the new heaven and the new earth, and there's not going to be a S-U-N. Glory to God. So He separated the light from the darkness on the first day. And then on the second day, God created the atmosphere. Notice that the atmosphere was in the middle of the waters. Did you see that? Verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so the first day of separation was light from darkness. Second day is from waters above and waters below. Now the waters below became the oceans, the seas, the streams, the creeks, the lakes and the ponds and all of that. And then the waters above were in place, and the waters below would evaporate and go to the waters above. And we call the waters above what? Vapor? Yeah, but what's our word for it? Clouds. Clouds are full of water. There's cumulus clouds. There's cirrus clouds. There's nimbus clouds. Yeah, there's stratus clouds, all kind of clouds. And God made every one of them. And so God, you know what He's doing here in day one and two and even three? He's creating things for habitation. Glory to God. Y'all do know what habitation is, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you habitating. Some of you are still mad about, anyways. On day three, God created the gathering of the seas and the appearing of the earth. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and He gathering together of the waters, He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind. Very important statement. Whose seed is in itself and on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was. So the evening and the morning were the third day. And so there you have it. God divided the waters and the dry land appeared. He covered the earth with minerals and chemicals so that we might not just survive but thrive. He put the trees, the flowers, the grass, the vegetation, and the fruit in place. And I love how Dr. Jerry Vines describes this. He said, earth is like a pantry, whatever you need's in the pantry. Glory to God. And God said, it's good. And then on the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, in the first 3 days, God is forming the universe. The next 3 days, He's filling the universe. Oh, that's a good word, y'all. Now, let me just talk about the sun for just a minute. The sun is 109 times larger than the earth. It's our primary source of light and energy. All of that comes from the sun. And without the sun, there'd be no, I don't want to throw a big word at you, but there'd be no photosynthesis. If there's no photosynthesis, there's no oxygen. That's right. So without the sun, there'd be no warmth and light. There'd be no life. And then God created the moon. And how many of you saw the eclipse yesterday, the solar eclipse? Four of you. Five. Okay. We really do need to get out. The moon reflects the light from the sun. Now, I remember, Susan, I don't know if you remember this, honey, but on Sunday night in July of 1969, we were all sitting downstairs in that old stinking basement of Mama and Daddy's, and we watched as Apollo 11 landed on the moon and Neil Armstrong got out and walked on the moon. I remember that. And they found out that much of the surface of the moon was made up of titanium. Isn't that a reflective material? You see, because the moon doesn't give out light. It reflects the light of the sun. And so, and God made the stars. I'm having to move through this pretty quickly. Astronomers have given up trying to estimate the stars. There's billions of them. I've had certain astronomers claim that there's more stars than there are grains of sand on the beach. Billions and billions of them. And listen to this. There's one huge star called Antares, and it's so big you could put 64 million of our suns in that star. You tell me God's not great? Whew. And by the way, I feel a little bit like the psalmist. When you start looking at all this stuff, you start thinking about, my goodness, what is man that you are mindful of him? But here's what God's doing. He's more interested in making saints than he is stars. Let me come over here and say that. God is more interested in making saints than he is stars. He's got a plan for your life. And he's working that plan out. Amen? All right, what day was that? Who wants to see what happened in day five? Don't answer that. Day five, God created the fish and the fowl. I think it's verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing. How many of y'all went down to the beach this week? Come on now. Oh, at least half of y'all went to the beach. Come on. How many of y'all went to the mountains? Aren't you glad God gives us vacation time? Hallelujah. It says, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the water abounded according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And so on the fifth day, God created the fish and the birds. And notice, this is not some evolutionary process. God said in verse 20. God created in verse 21. God blessed in verse 22. The fish are perfectly shaped so that they can move swiftly and abundantly in the water. But they can't outrun Dick Littleton. Dick can throw them in the boat, let me tell you. Their scales protect them. There's oxygen in the water, and God gave the fish gills so that they could breathe. Listen to this. There's over 9,000 species of fish. And notice that the fish produced after their own kind. A bass can only produce a bass. A bass cannot produce a shark. A shark cannot produce a bass for that reason. And evolution says you can move from one species to another over time. There is no evidence of that anywhere. God created the birds on the same day. And did y'all know, listen to this, birds have hollow bones, and when they breathe air, it fills their bones. Most birds are shaped so that they can fly. How do birds know when to migrate? Change of the season? They just know, don't they? How many of y'all have hummingbird feeders? Those are my favorite birds to watch. I mean, those little things are awesome. They beat their wings 90 times a second. Have you ever watched them just kind of hover? And man, they can move up and down and in and out, sideways. I mean, they are amazing. And by the way, you'll never see a hummingbird giving birth to a pelican. All the animals reproduced after their own kind, after their own species. Now, there are some changes over time through different species, but you can't move from one species to another. And by the way, evolution says that birds evolved from reptiles. Well, according to the Word of God, reptiles, land animals, were created on day six after the birds were created. I wonder if there's anybody here that selects the curriculum for the school system. On the sixth day, hallelujah, say sixth day. That ought to be really important to you. All right? On the sixth day, God created the animals and humanity. And by the way, before the flood, the animals and humanity ate the same food. We were all vegetarians. You don't believe me, do you? Look at verse 29, chapter 1. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so animals and humanity ate the same food. They were vegetarians, ate fruit and vegetables. I know how much y'all like a ribeye steak. I do too. But I'm going to talk more about this next week. Both animals and man came from the dust of the earth, the ground. They both have appendages. They have eyes and ears and arms and legs. But morality and appreciation for beauty, music and art, and the spiritual capacity to worship are not found in animals. You, my friend, did not come from some monkey. I'm trying to remember that little ditty. There once was a tadpole swimming in the sea. And then there was a monkey swinging on a tree. And now, hallelujah, I'm a PhD. Some of y'all will get that next week. There are no transitional forms of animals having evolved into human beings. None of that has ever been found. And by the way, God put plants, animals, and man in their adult stage at creation. And God gave dominion to Adam over the animals. You know who named all the animals? Adam did. And he told the animal kingdom where to go and what to do. There was no death and disease before sin entered creation. And dinosaurs, listen kids, dinosaurs were on the earth with humanity then. And dinosaurs got on the ark, and I'll say more about that a little bit later. But, and they ate vegetation just like man did before the flood. But after the flood, the dinosaurs that didn't drown, who came out of the ark, died because of the change in atmosphere and climate. Originally, creation was like this giant greenhouse. And man lived for hundreds of years. And we'll talk more about this as we move through Genesis 1 through 11. Next week, I'm talking about the fall, then I'm talking about the flood, and then I'm going to talk about the Tower of Babel. Chapter 2 is basically a summary of the creation account. But what I like about chapter 2 is the first marriage. Some of y'all are still mad about that. Well, the only time God says it's not good, here it is. And the Lord God, chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. And I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Now, I don't know if Adam was real sharp or not, but he's looking at all the animals and he's naming them, and all the animals had a mate, and all of a sudden it dawned on him, I don't have one. Well, duh. And God put Adam to sleep. You remember that. It's all here in Genesis 2. And God put Adam, and he took a rib from close to Adam's heart and made woman. And then the Bible says God brought her to Adam. By the way, if you're single, just know this. God will bring her to you, sir. You don't even have to go out here and beat the field. He'll bring her to you. Somebody say amen. Whew. Hard crowd today. But now Adam wakes up and he sees this gorgeous woman, and he must have said something like, habba-dabba-doo. I don't know what he said, but here's what you need to know about Eve. She was not only Adam's wife. Chapter 3 tells us that she was the mother of every living being that's ever been born. By the way, they did a genome project in the year 2000. They were studying DNA, and what they found out was that every human being came from one woman, Eve. I'm telling y'all, the Word of God's true. There's only one race, the human race. All right, 6 literal days of creation. Creation begins and ends with God. And here's the last thing I want to say. We're almost done. Creation rest took place on the 7th day. Now look at Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Y'all know the number 7 is the number of perfection and completion. After God finished his creation in 6 days, he rested on the 7th day. Was God wore out? Was God exhausted? Was God tired? God doesn't get tired. This is a rest of completion, not exhaustion. This is the Hebrew word Shabbat, rest. God was, someone as well said, if God rested on the 7th day, so should we. The Sabbath was to be a day of rest. It was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But God's creation rest would be interrupted. Sin reared its ugly head in an ideal environment, and God would have to begin another work that unfolded in the Old Testament and climaxed in the New Testament. We call this the work of redemption. Now, you remember that plants and animals and humans could only reproduce after their kind? Stay with me. They could only reproduce after their kind. You can't move from one species to another. Well, after sin came into the garden experience, after Adam sinned, he could only produce after his kind. And that's why everyone that's ever been born is born into sin, because that gene that sin nature has been passed down to every one of us. You could say that your first birth was defective. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. And in that born again process that we call salvation, God restores His image. Would you pray with me this morning? I don't know where and what God wants to do with this lesson of truth. Father, I've explained it the very best I knew how to this morning. I've studied for hours and hours the last 2 weeks. But this is not about me. This is about You. And the truth of the matter, Father, is that there are folks here today that have never truly claimed the name of Christ and surrendered their heart to You as the Lord of their life. And so, God, in this opening sermon series of freedom from error, I just want to plainly go on record and say the devil is a liar. And he's lied to some of our people here. Somebody here may be religious, but they're not saved, because that's entirely possible. And so, God, I pray that right now You might move in the hearts and lives of people all across this room. I pray You'd help us to know the truth about sin, the truth about the stuff that keeps us in bondage and in chains. And that, God, You would set us free today from whatever it is You want to do. We ask it in the name that's above every other name. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're here this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the preaching of God's Word. If there's a response that needs to be made on your behalf, maybe you're here and you're struggling with what you've heard today, and that you just come and just pray that God would give you truth. And hit this altar and plead with God that you need to know the truth. I believe God will give you that truth today, whatever the issue is. And so I'm going to ask us to come in just a minute. This is a great place to meet God, and we'll pray for you. If you need to be saved, man, we'd love to show you how to be saved. Oh, Father, bless this time, would you? In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Andrew, what are we going to sing? Let's all stand.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.